The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Now, we promise not to quit midway through the show now, Ron, right? We're not going to leave midway through, hour and a half into the show, 2 hours into the show, and then walk away and retire.
I make no guarantees either.
Well, we're going to promise, at least we're going to try. We're not going to walk away at halftime of this program. Is that the strangest story you've seen in a week of NFL football? Like, all the cool things that go on, and the wins and losses and ties and everything in week two. Vontae Davis said, "That's it. I can't do this anymore." And just said, "I'm leaving."
Honestly, I can't blame him, though.
I know. What a long season that's going to be. But, I mean, he's not even going to tough it out for one more year just to say, "Hey, let me get another year under my belt. Let me just wrap this up."
When
let
your body gives
finish
up.
The season.
Dude, when your body gives up, you give up.
I know. That's true. That is true, man.
He's in his 40s, right?
Yeah, he's up. Well, he's only been in the league 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's old.
He's up there.
He's in his 40s. I think he's pushing 50. No,
he's got to be close to 65. Maybe
exactly.
he's getting ready for Social Security. And that's it.
At half, his AARP card came in. He's like, "Oh, peace out, boys. I'm out.
Vontae Davis abruptly retired at halftime of the Buffalo Bills-Chargers game yesterday. I just thought it was the funniest story in the world.
No, that's what you do against my Chargers, by the way.
That's what you do if you're a Buffalo Bills. That's what you do if you're a Buffalo Bill. You just go, I'm out. I look around. I don't see any point in this.
And he just got tired of covering Antonio Gates.
No, he got tired of the Bills going, "Hey, we're going back to rebuilding." Oh, God, I'm out. I'm done. So what do you do if you're Vontae Davis? Can you ever come back into the league at any point ever again? Or are you, that's it. You just, because you left at halftime and not, let's say on a Wednesday, you got the disrespect of your entire teammates.
Yeah. You can't come back, right?
You can't come back. Not if you left in a game. Like, seriously, like in midweek, if you go, "Hey guys, I'm not feeling good. And I don't think I can do this anymore." All right. Wednesday, you can say you're retired. Give the team a chance to game plan without you. But when you say at halftime, coach, I need to get out of the game permanently. That's it. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, glad you can be with us here on a Monday as we process week two in the National Football League from Sunday. The Vikings and the Green Bay Packers play to a 29-29 tie. What is this, hockey? I can't take this anymore. This is the second week in a row I got to deal with a tie in the NFL. Look, I get it. The NFL has never not had a plan for ties. You play one overtime. That's it. You can't get it done. You can't get it done. We live with ties. But every time we have one, I hate it. I just hate it. I don't know how to figure it out when it's all said and done. This might be bigger for Minnesota. This could be a tough division. I mean, it's Green Bay and the Vikings playing it out. You know, obviously a half a game, half a win, half a loss, however you process a tie, could be a factor down the road. But still, these ties stink. But that game wasn't defined by a tie. It was defined by a couple of things. One, Kirk Cousins was fantastic. He threw for 425 yards. He was 35 of 48. Fantastic numbers. Basically, you know, kept getting the Vikings in this game, throwing touchdown passes. But they benefited from a roughing the passer penalty on Clay Matthews. Now, I got a feeling that this is going to be a topic we're going to be talking about all season. Because one of the things that occurs when you have a rule change like this, when you have a sort of a philosophical rule change, which is we're going to go in this direction with roughing the passer. Like, we don't want you to lift the quarterback and put your body weight on top of him. Clay Matthews takes down Kirk Cousins. It's a roughing the passer penalty. The Vikes get new life. But the reality of it is that we saw this with Myles Garrett last week. In the Steeler game, is that these guys are making these tackles that we're so used to seeing, and we kind of say, wait a minute, that's a textbook takedown. That is a textbook tackle. But that's not in the new rules anymore. Because as the NFL has said, hey, okay, is there a way we can make sure that the star quarterbacks in this league stay on the field? So is there, what are some of the ways we can do that? Well, some of these quarterbacks are getting injuries with this. Some of these quarterbacks are getting injuries through that. Well, is there a way we can eliminate that? Well, we can look at that. Okay, so they did. So now you can't put your body weight on a quarterback. You can't take them down and lay on a quarterback. Or you can't lift them up and drive them to the ground. But unfortunately, in a game that's physical like this, in a game where there's moving body parts, I mean, you're coming in one direction, they're coming in another direction, you're grabbing and your momentum is carrying you in a certain way, and physics obviously doesn't comply here. So Clay Matthews is pretty upset about this, and I think rightfully so. It's more out of frustration than anything else, because the league is going to stand with this, whether we like it or not. This is too important to the league. Trust me. When you have 32 owners, well, depending on how the Green Bay Packers send their ownership group, but when you have ownership saying, hey, I'm not paying a guy $30 million a year so he can be on the bench in week two if I can help it, if we can help it as an organization. And the reality of it is they control football. So it's not like baseball. Like, you know, when people talk about baseball and like sort of these rules and we don't want to mess around with the game because the game is, you know, a century old, et cetera, et cetera. They control football. If they are the ones that are saying, all right, look, wherever football goes, we're going to take it to the next place. All right. So we don't want $30 million quarterbacks on the sidelines in week two if we can help it. We can't stop every injury, but if we can stop many of them, we're going to do that, even if everybody hates us for it. And that's what's going to happen. And we as fans, they're not going back on this. I mean, let me just say, I would be really shocked if they did, because I think the owners look at this and say, you know what? They'll adapt, even if it costs us a game. If I'm an owner and this costs me a game because my defender landed on top of a quarterback, even if it costs me a game, the big picture is still really important. And the big picture is keeping our star quarterbacks as healthy as we possibly can. Can't eliminate everything, but they want to eliminate some things. Personally, I don't like it because at the end, what I'm seeing is stuff that I've been seeing my whole life. And it's hard for me and my mind to adjust. So Clay Matthews, again, he doesn't have any answers for this. Like we say, I'll change it. We'll turn it over to the league. But it's frustrating. It's got to be frustrating. This was a good game. This was a really, really good game. And it was fun to watch. Except for Daniel Carlson missing a field goal. And Mason Crosby missing a field goal. I mean, and it ended in a tie. Which, by the way, it eats me. Because you know why, Ron? I hate investing 4 hours of my time into a game only to see it go, oh, nobody wins. We're all leaving with a little piece of the pie. I can't take it. I saw it last week. I watched that whole Steeler Browns game only to be like, we just still don't know who won. It's just a tie.
Yeah, but it is kind of I'm enjoying it just because I'm enjoying the press conferences afterwards.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because one team, like last week, Cleveland was excited.
That
like, hey, we didn't lose.
Nope.
And you see the Steelers like, oh, God, we tied. And then this week again, I mean, this week you had both teams going, well, you know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers just came straight up. He's like, ah, it's a little closer to an L than a W.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It's got to feel like that.
And especially in their situation.
Well, it's also, again, it's a half a game that it's you get to the end of the season and you got to process that half game. What's it worth? Because it's, you know, 9-6-1 is better than 9-7. It's less than 10-6, you know, so it's not super complicated. It's just annoying. Okay. It's just annoying.
So now, like next week when we make our picks.
Yeah.
Do we, should we start picking who do we think is going to tie?
Which is going to tie? Yeah. Who's going to tie?
I mean, because, you know, one time that's weird. Two times, that's the beginning of a trend.
Yeah, it is a beginning of a trend. Exactly. Exactly. But like I said, Kirk Cousins was good.
That
Minnesota Vikings team was good.
Yeah. I thought there was going to be a little bit of a slump bringing him over, having him learn a new system and get on top of all that. But they're not slowing down.
And there's a lot to get to today. We got a lot to get to. What are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to do with Ryan Fitzpatrick now?
Start him.
When Jameis Winston comes back, there's no job.
Yeah.
There's no job. He was great.
You can't play him.
You can't.
You gotta ride the hot hand. That's
you,
I mean,
you have
really
to.
What
I
is.
Don't understand it. Like I never get this concept in the NFL where they go, well, a starter can't lose his job to injury. Well, yeah, he can, and he certainly can do it with a suspension. All right, so let's make that clear. All right. When you say if a quarterback goes down hurt, people go, well, he shouldn't lose his starting job. Why not? But if he's suspended like Jameis Winston, absolutely why not if the backup is this much better? I mean, Fitzpatrick's playing some good football right now. They just beat the Eagles, and now they're off to a 2-0 start. If you go back, the problem is if you go back to Jameis Winston and you regress, right, that's going to be, it's just not going to, you don't want that PR mess. The other reality, though, is how long does Ryan Fitzpatrick have doing this? He is a backup. So if he gets to a point that he struggles, let's say you're Dick Cutter and you say, all right, we're going to start him going forward, and he struggles in week 4 and he struggles in week 5, and it's then you go back to Jameis, do you lose a little bit because Jameis is the starter? This is his team. There's without the suspension, he'd be playing quarterback right now.
Yeah, but honestly, I mean, Jameis has never really impressed me.
No, but he's still overall. Your franchise quarterback.
Is he?
Yeah, of course.
I know.
He is.
I mean, I know he
he's
is
the number one overall pick.
He was the number one overall pick. I get all that, but
Ryan Fitzpatrick is a journeyman quarterback.
But
I mean,
I'm always getting the sense that, you know, it's like it would be the same as the Raiders back in the day. Going, no, Jamarcus Russell's our franchise quarterback.
Jameis Winston. The problem is that is Ryan Fitzpatrick, listen, is right now is the hot 2-week quarterback, but
yeah,
he
I'm not saying
is
he's the answer.
A journeyman quarterback. I mean, let's make no mistake. I mean, this guy regresses all the time. I mean, he has not been able to keep a job in the league for a while. I mean, he gets a starting job, he plays well, then he disappears again. Then he goes to another team. There's a reason why he's bounced around this league. That's the problem. So, I mean, you're putting your faith in a guy who has moments like this, like throws 6 touchdowns and then has moments where he can't get the, you know, he can't get the Jets to the playoffs, or he can't get the Bills to the playoffs, or he can't get the Titans to the playoffs, or wherever he's landed. Winston is, he hasn't been impressive in terms of the win numbers, but there have been moments where he's put up some good numbers in losing efforts. The problem is that I don't think if you're Tampa Bay, you go back, because this is the hot guy right now, and you keep this going, because in this league, there is no principle here, right? There's no principle in this. You keep the guy that's hot. I don't, especially if your quarterback, like a Jameis Winston case, it's not like he hurt his elbow like Marcus Mariota. He did this awful, awful thing to this Uber driver in Arizona. And it was warranted. It warranted a 3-game suspension. If you're the Bucs, that's enough. Wipe this clean, and let him know. Look, this isn't your team. All just because you get to come back. Right now, we're 2-0. We could be 3-0 if we beat the hapless, defenseless Steelers next week. And if we're 3-0, we're not going back to you. That's the way I'd make it.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, he's eligible to come back in week 4. I don't think he's going to be football ready when week 4 comes.
No, I probably
so
not.
So you already have, you know.
Did go through a preseason. So.
Right, but I mean, you already have your guy lined up for week 4. And then maybe you start reevaluating in week 5.
Yeah.
I mean, what this reminds me of is a couple years ago when Dak Prescott came in. Then, because you know Tony Romo broke his back, it's like, all right, well, we got to throw this rookie out here, see what he can do, and all the talk all the way through, because you know Dak was performing, you ride the hot hand, and got to a point, it's like, no, when Tony was eligible, it's like, we can't go back, we have to ride the hot hand.
Well, I mean, they went 13-3,
right?
I mean, they had played the Packers in the postseason and lost, but I mean, still they had home field advantage. They had that home field game. They won the division.
You and I were on the same page. I mean, the NFC South Buccaneers weren't even in the conversation. They were 4.
No, not in the conversation.
They were going to be 4. So that was like the easiest one to choose out of those top, out of those 4 teams. Like, you know, the Bucs are 4, and then it's going to be kind of muddled for 1, 2, and 3. At this point, God, they look great.
They look great. He's coming off back-to-back 4 touchdown performances. It's
and what 400 yards each?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So I think it's going to be really interesting in Tampa Bay when week 4 comes around and Jameis Winston is like, "Yep, all right, maybe." We'll see. We shall see. All right, 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. That is Ron with 2 N's. We continue to roll through week 2 of the National Football League, going over the games and the news from Sunday on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. Glad you can be with us on SB Nation AM as we are rolling along. All right, so here is Clay Matthews speaking about the roughing the passer penalty that hurt his Green Bay Packers in that game where he went after Kirk Cousins. Here's Clay.
I mean, I don't even know where to start, to be completely honest with you. I mean, I have so many emotions kind of running through as far as it's just what a terrible call it was. But at the same time, I don't know what else to do. I mean, I don't know. You let me know. Let me tell me, did I put pressure on him? Because I thought I hit him within, his waist, the chest. I got my head across, put my hands down, and to call it, you know, at that point in the game, it's just, I mean, it's unbelievable. Last week, okay, you know, shame on me. But this week, I mean, that's unbelievable. So, and the worst part is, we'll probably send it in. And you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, you know, they'll find fault on me. Because they're gonna agree with the refs. So, I don't know. It's just a difficult call to call. And, I mean, you see how it changed the game.
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? Is that, as I said earlier, this is a rule they're not interested in fixing. They're not interested in saying, whoops, our bad. Well, we didn't realize how bad that was going to be. They're not going to do that. They are in a position where they're going to go, no, this is the league we want. This is how we want the game to be officiated. This is what we want to do with our quarterback. Sorry, you're going to have to adjust. And it's too bad, because every time I watch the play against the Browns last week, even though it was against Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, and that's my team, I still went, that's a textbook tackle. That's a textbook takedown. And I get it. Listen, I get the physics of it, man. It's not easy to do when you're running at that speed or you're going at that sort of level. But somehow they want you to do it. I don't know. I mean, your guess is as good as mine how they fix it. But that's what they're going to do. And so Clay Matthews is absolutely right. It's frustrating, but this is the direction they're going, because they don't want these quarterbacks hurt. I went through this whole thing years ago, and when Roger Goodell was like, okay, listen, I'm going to start finding guys. I'm going to start hammering down the way, you know, we get head to head, the way we lead with our helmet, right? He started changing the things up. Remember James Harrison had that big interview where he was really angry at Goodell, said some really nasty things about him. Well, that was the real initial moment of where the league was saying, look, we're going to alter this. We're going to change it. And now it's getting like this, and guys are going to get more frustrated. You're going to see more of this season. But it's also a rule I don't think fans like. I don't think fans really enjoy. Is that just that when you see a tackle, you grew up knowing that there's a certain way to wrap up a guy and bring him down, and then you actually see it. He's not leading with his helmet. He's not doing something illegal. He's just wrapping up a quarterback and taking him down, and all of a sudden it's, that's a roughing the passer penalty. And that changes, that could change the outcome of the game. Look, the Steelers benefited because there was a third, that was a third down play. They got a first down, scored the next play. This gave the Vikings new life. So I understand, Clay. I completely get it. All right, some other games in week two we want to get to. I want to talk about the New Orleans Saints beat Cleveland, so there is no beer in Cleveland this week. And they almost had it off. Zane Gonzalez missed that field goal at the end. Too bad, because they could have at least forced something there. But New Orleans, a very unimpressive 1-1 on the season. They got burned by Ryan Fitzpatrick last week, and the Browns could have won this game. New Orleans needed a rally in this one. They scored 18 points in the fourth quarter to get this 21-18 win. Now, I don't know how much Mark Ingram's absence is hurting the Saints, but they don't look good in the first 2 weeks of the season. But Cleveland, man, when are they going to win a game? When they tied this up with a minute left, and then Will Lutz wins it with 21 seconds remaining and had a chance. Cleveland had a chance, but Zane Gonzalez had a rough day.
Yeah, but, you know, they're definitely getting a win this year.
They are definitely getting a win. I mean, the way they're playing,
they're playing so much better than they have been. You just have that feeling, you know, it's going to bounce their way. Once they get that first win, then they'll, like, okay, finally we got it. We got the monkey off our back. Now they'll go get another one.
Yep.
They're going to be a multiple win team this year.
Yeah, I do. I completely agree. I think they're going to win. They seem to be playing a lot different. I mean, but again, it's Zane Gonzalez missed that field goal that could have made it 21-18 with about a minute left.
Yeah, and if they don't win,
then a little over a minute left, and then the Saints took it and were like, "Yeah, we'll win it now."
Yeah, and if they don't win, then we got to start figuring out why Cleveland's cursed.
Yeah, exactly. Because if they don't win a game, it's coming along somewhere. I keep waiting. I keep waiting for that moment where they pull this off. But Hugh Jackson's got to be like, "Oh God, go to the Superdome. We almost pull this out. Our kicker misses. Then they take advantage." He missed a couple of kicks in that game. You know, kicking, man, kicking, you better make your kicks, because there's plenty of guys out there looking for work. They'll be more than happy to come in and kick for you on a Monday and sign with you on a Tuesday.
No, and you got to, yeah, because they don't need much prep time.
No, they don't.
Their playbook, they have like two plays in their playbook. See that? Those yellow things? Kick in between them.
Yep.
There's one.
They'll be ready to go. It's like, I remember a story years ago, early 2000s. Where the Giants needed a long snapper for their playoff game against the 49ers. And this guy was just at home. He had been a long snapper before. The Giants called him. And he was like, "Oh, yeah." It's because, what kind of game prep do you need, right? All you have to do is do what you are trained to do professionally, which is long snap the football and kicks, right? So he was ready to go. And he's part of the roster. He goes to the playoff game. And the Giants, go line up a last second field goal. And what does he do? He botches it. He was minding his own business, living in retirement. The Giants call him up. "Hey, why don't you come down and long snap for us in this game?" "Oh, let me talk to my wife." "All right, I ain't doing anything this weekend." And then he botches the kick, gets all this hate mail and New York anger thrown at him. And it was like, well, that seemed like a good idea at the time. I guess it was a miserable idea in retrospect. That's all they got. I mean, that's the same thing with kickers. You could bring one in on a Wednesday and have them be ready for Sunday. They just got to kick. That's all you got to do. So Zane Gonzalez, you keep missing field goals. Browns are going to go look elsewhere. Dan Bailey have a job yet?
That's what I was going to say. Dan Bailey is just sitting there, your most accurate kicker in Cowboys history.
Still waiting for a call. He's getting one soon. Browns are going to be like, "Well, if you take a pay cut, you'd be more than happy to come play for us."
How awesome would that be? Everyone thought for the Browns, they're like, they're going to pull the Cowboy this offseason.
Yeah.
And it'll be a different Cowboy.
That's right. Very good point. Good point. Sam Darnold crashed down to earth a bit in a 20-12 loss to the Miami Dolphins. Oh, look out. Miami's now 2-0.
Yeah, but he still looks good.
Yeah, he looks good. He looks like a quarterback.
Yeah,
looks
even
like
an in NFL that loss, he doesn't. When you look at the other rookies, well, the only other rookie that really played was Josh Allen.
He threw two picks, but one of them was like a guy like bent low to pick it up into the end zone.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was like thrown right to him or anything. No, Darnold looks, I mean, look, if you're a Jets fan and you're a smart Jets fan, these are going to come. Like, these are going to, these are going to be what you're going to get. You're going to get games like where he bounces back nicely and everything works well against the Lions. And then you get games like this where he's going to be all right. He still threw for 330 yards. He still had a touchdown, but he threw two picks. You're going to have games like that. But what you're looking for is just the look. Does he look like an NFL quarterback? Does he have deer in headlights? No. Does he bounce back nicely after mistakes? Yes. He's not going to win everything. He's not going to lead you to the playoffs. Rookie quarterbacks rarely do. Don't get all overly excited. But if he has a season where you feel like this position, which is the most important position, is in good hands, and I like where we're going, then you should feel good. Doesn't matter whether it's 6-10 or 10-6 or 9-7 or whatever. Sam Darnold looks like an NFL quarterback and acts like an NFL quarterback, even after 2 weeks, despite the fact they're 1-1. Put the record aside. You got an NFL quarterback. I don't think you got a guy that's going to disappear from this league in 2 years and we're going to go, whatever happened to that Sam Darnold guy? Oh, he's selling insurance. No, he's a legit NFL quarterback. SB Nation AM.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
As we continue to run through week two in the NFL on Sunday, one of the games that has a lot of, I think, some impact here, and it's really hard because, you know, week two games, they're just not, we get late in the season and you really start seeing how teams are injury-wise, how momentum shifts and all that. If I'm Jacksonville, how much do I want to bottle this Blake Bortles version up and just keep it until December and January? Because I got no idea if this guy shows up again late in the season. But what he did against the Patriots was pretty unbelievable. It's really nice. Not unbelievable, like an elephant walking a tightrope unbelievable. But for Blake Bortles, it was pretty impressive. A 4-touchdown day, 377 through the air, looked sharp, tearing up the Patriots' defense. Looked good in a very good victory. We say it all the time. This Jacksonville team has been waiting patiently for everything to pay off. They, again, top five pick, year in and year out. Kind of a joke around the league for a while because you weren't supposed to be that awful. Have to play a home game in London, et cetera, et cetera. Now they've got a Super Bowl contending team here. And they're making some good plays. They're making some great. They got some guys making some, you know, nice defensive plays. They got a great defense. They've got a good offense when Blake Bortles is on. This was a nice victory for Jackson. By the way, everybody's 2-0 in Florida. Tampa Bay's 2-0. Miami's 2-0. Now Jags are 2-0. It's a nice win for Jacksonville. TJ Yeldon, 58 yards rushing. Keelan Cole had a nice touchdown catch. It's a good win. And they have contained Rob Gronkowski pretty good defensively. But that's what they've been doing. I mean, Jacksonville as a whole, this is what they've been. Like I've said, you get these number one picks and you finally start building up a resume of good players, right? You start building, and you get your quarterback to play. Like Jalen Ramsey talked about it. Look, Blake Bortles balled all game. Didn't just ball for a half. He balled all game, Jalen Ramsey said afterwards. And that's what he did. But again, I'm not a Blake Bortles guy, right? Bortles is, I just can't trust him enough, right? I remember last year during the game against the Steelers. They had the ball late in the first half. Clock's running down. Still had some good time on the clock. They didn't trust him enough. They had him kneel it out, go into the locker room. And I thought to myself, what are the playoff quarterback is told with good amount of time to do something to try to get a field goal, is told to sit on it and get into the locker room? You're in the playoffs. This isn't like, you know, oh, I got a young quarterback. I don't want to ruin him by throwing a late pick. This is Blake Bortles, a guy who won the division, was going to the playoffs against the Steelers. All of a sudden, you don't trust him to take your team downfield, try to kick a field goal with 40-something seconds, 50-something seconds on the clock. No, they didn't. And that's been his MO. But this Jacksonville team looks really good. They look Super Bowl good. And it's a good win against the Patriots. Tom Brady never, ever, ever lost to Jacksonville in his career. Now, again, that sounds impressive, but when you think about how many years did Jacksonville stink? They don't play him every year also, so it's not like he plays them all, you know, twice a season or whatever. But he's never lost to Jacksonville. Jacksonville spent a lot of times in the dumps, and now Blake Bortles in this team is fantastic. Good for him. It's a team that's really coming together. I don't know. I kind of was waiting for the Patriots to come back in this one. I kind of kept going, nah, maybe they will. That's the one thing with New England. You can never shut them down, right? And Chris Hogan, it was the second Chris Hogan touchdown in the fourth quarter. I'm thinking, there's still a chance with like 4 minutes left. It's like, they're down 11, but there's still a chance. That's just the way the Patriots are. 481 yards against that Patriot defense. Jacksonville still wins despite two turnovers. 800-777-2907. Oh, man. The game, though, that I spent too much time agonizing with, Ron, was the Kansas City Steeler game. This is a dumpster fire for the Steelers. Patrick Mahomes is the next superstar in this league. Six touchdown passes. Steelers defense has nothing. Nothing. They're 0-1-1. Mahomes was fantastic. Just fantastic. This is a new Kansas City look.
Yeah, what I see on Twitter, Patrick Mahomes is the new Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but could be, yeah.
So that sounds about accurate. I mean,
that's about accurate. Six touchdowns.
Yeah, that was impressive.
He's got weapons. I mean, he's got tremendous amount of weapons. Look, the Steelers do too, and that's the whole thing. The problem with the Steelers is this doesn't work. When you play these shootout games, it doesn't work in the NFL. You're going to get burned. Steelers can put up points. We know that. Roethlisberger and that offense, when they get rolling, they can put up points, especially when they have Le'Veon Bell back. If they ever get Le'Veon Bell back, this is what they can do. But you can't get in these shootout games. And you can't get in these shootout games with a team with that many weapons, because Kansas City is loaded offensively. Travis Kelce had two touchdown catches. Tyreek Hill had one late. Kareem Hunt had a touchdown catch. Mahomes is accurate on the run, which is dangerous. I get it. He's a rookie. There's still tape to be had. Not a rookie, second year guy, but it's his first year starting. There's still tape that you can get through, and you can still, defensive coordinators can still figure him out. But the reality of it is they've made the right decision here. This Kansas City offense, I haven't seen it look like this in a long time with this kind of downfield maneuverability. And this is fun to watch. This really is fun to watch. If I'm a Kansas City fan, I put up with Alex Smith winning games, but let's be honest, winning games rather boringly. But this is exciting. This is when you have guys around the quarterback and the quarterback is using all of them. That's great. It's great. And they're dangerous. But the Steelers have got to figure out themselves defensively, because this isn't going to work. They put up 37. They put up 400 plus yards of offense in a game that was just a shootout, fun offensive performance on both teams. But they're not going to win these games very often. They're just not. They're going to win their share, but they're not going to win enough. And when you get to the playoffs, you need to buckle this kind of stuff down. When you start getting cold and you start realizing you can't start airing it out all over the place in the playoffs, this is where the Steelers are going to get hurt, if they make the playoffs at all. I still think the Steelers will bounce back and make the playoffs. But you can't lose. Let's go through. I mean, what do they say about 0-2 teams? How rare is it that 0-2 teams make the playoffs? Some have, because people have turned their seasons around. But you got to be careful. I want to know how many 0-1-1 teams have made the playoffs starting out the season. But if you're 0-2 like the Raiders, you better start turning around. If you're 0-2 like the Texans, who I thought was the most exciting team coming into the season, that was not good at all. You want to know how banged up Tennessee was going into this game? Marcus Mariota was out. Delanie Walker is out. Taylor Lewan is out. They had another offensive lineman out. If you can't beat the Tennessee Titans when they basically have nothing on offense and they're using gadget trick plays, something's wrong. Houston, as good as the Texans are, they should have played. I don't know if Jadeveon Clowney didn't play, but I mean, they should have beat Tennessee. Tennessee was right there for the taking. And it wasn't Blaine Gabbert didn't do a Ryan Fitzpatrick yesterday. He didn't pull off one of these, oh my God, where did that come from kind of performance. He was 13 completions, a buck and a half in terms of yardage. Suckups kicking a couple of field goals at the end. That's really it. They used a trick play in the beginning of the game. Kevin Byard had a touchdown pass. But Houston should have won that game. Houston put up 437 yards of offense, and they put up 17 points on the board. I mean, goodness gracious. And again, the Texans were my favorite team coming in terms of look. The Texans were the team I said, look, if you're going to settle on a Sunday and you're just looking for entertainment, Watch the Texans. If when they're healthy, well, they got J.J. Watt, Deshaun Watson, one of the most exciting offensive players in the league, right? He's got some weapons. Jadeveon Clowney, J.J. Watt. This will be a fun team to watch. So far, not so much. And this wasn't even a fun game to watch. This was rather dull. Except for the trick play, which was really fun. No, that's about it.
It was
boring.
Bad football on both sides.
Bad football.
But you expected that out of the Titans.
Absolutely. They had nothing offensively.
It was Blaine Gabbert leading the team's like, okay, we know it's going to be bad football.
With no offensive line and no Delanie Walker.
We just didn't know the Texans were like, no. Ugh. We're worse. Trust me.
Don't play down to your level of competition because this is when the league bites you. If you're better, be better. Be better all the way. But it just goes to show you how this in this league is crazy. I mean, I didn't give the Titans a chance. That's what I'm talking about all week. I was at the high school football game Friday night talking to some friends. We're commiserating about the Titans. Yeah, it's going to be ugly this weekend.
So they're saying, I hope they keep it within two scores.
Yeah, that's what it was. Friday night at this football game, everybody, it was about three of us. We were all talking. All three of us were talking about how this is going to be a disaster. If Marcus Mariota didn't play, we didn't know about Mariota's availability. Vrabel said before the game that both his quarterbacks, when he said both his quarterbacks were going to play, my thought was, why is both quarterbacks going to play? If Mariota can play,
that was gamesmanship, Tony.
Why is both quarterbacks going to play? This isn't when Nick Saban says, oh yeah, Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts are going to play in the game against Arkansas State. Okay. Tennessee was saying this because Mariota was hurt. And he probably didn't know what level he was going to be able to participate. So Blaine Gabbert was ready. When Blaine Gabbert played the whole game, nobody was really shocked. But again, without all of the weapons that Tennessee had, Houston should have rolled over them.
And how good does Vrabel feel today?
Yeah, great. Pulls this out.
Just goes in there, but he beats his former. I mean, he was just coaching them last year.
Yeah, he was defensive coordinator.
Yep, just beat them.
Just beat them.
Smacked them around, knew exactly what they were going to do. So it's like Bill O'Brien said, hey, you know what? Let's try to throw him for a loop. Let's use the same playbook.
Yeah. It's great.
I don't know.
Fourth and six. Tennessee throws a trick play. Who does that in the first quarter of a game? They're at their own 34 on fourth down. And Kevin Byard throws a touchdown pass to Dwayne Cruikshank, and he's down the field. He's running 60-plus yards for a touchdown. At that moment, you're like, Vrabel's like, listen, I got nothing. Okay. If I'm going to lose swinging because I got nothing. And the Texans were like, we'll be more than happy to swim in this muck. We'll be hanging out with you. Go 0-2. Don't go 0-2. Oh, and I like the Texans too. I really like the Texans. All right, I got some more games to get to, including the miserable, absolutely miserable Arizona Cardinals. Atlanta back on track. We'll talk about that. We'll get you caught up around week two in the National Football League. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
Now, back to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I'm glad I didn't get this game in my local market. Arizona Cardinals are terrible. Rams rolling 34-0. I didn't expect them to beat the Rams. That's not what I mean by that, but blech.
Yeah, is it time to just say so long to Sam Bradford?
90 yards passing on 17 completions. How do you get 90 yards passing on 17 completions?
He's afraid to throw it down the field. That's
like literally, are guys just, is he just throwing out of the backfield?
They're all like 3 yard slant, 5 yard hooks.
That's it. That's all he's doing. That's it. If you throw 17 times and don't at least get $1.50 out of the deal, good Lord. 90 yards passing.
We're probably afraid of. I mean, he gets injured so often. He's like, man, if I really let this loose, my shoulder's gone.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably true.
He's like a brittle man out there.
I mean, I know, listen, the Rams defense is good. David Johnson had 48 yards on 13 attempts. I mean, the Rams defense is good. But what are they, Georgia Tech, for crying out loud? 90 yards passing?
Yeah, I think it's time to usher in the era of Josh Rosen.
Yeah, I think so too. Doesn't it seem to happen? Doesn't this seem to happen like all the time? Like a team has a veteran quarterback and then they have this like young kid they draft in the first round and they go, he's the future, but we're going to wait. We're going to let him grow into the position. And then for whatever reason, the starting quarterback either gets hurt or is so anemically bad that you end up going, all right, whatever, week four or five, you're like, well, bring it in the rookie now. This is like, I've seen this act constantly, almost all the time. Bradford's 90 yards are the fewest he's thrown in the game in his career. Yeah, you think? 90 yards for a quarterback? You got to be kidding. Who played an entire game? He played an entire game and had 90 yards passing. It's like he's afraid to throw it downfield. You're right, Ron. I think he's afraid to throw it downfield.
For injury.
It's like, oh, there's a guy open, but I don't know. Who's open? Who's open? Oh, there's a guy next to me open. Here, you take it. Oh, sorry.
I mean, you almost got the feeling that if Larry Fitzgerald was standing 40 yards away from him, no one in sight.
Right.
He's going to be like, ah, no, I'm going to dump it off.
Nah, I can't.
Yeah, that's too risky of a play.
Jeez. Fitzgerald had three receptions for 28 yards.
Yeah, he's probably so excited that he came back.
His long was 15 yards, I know. He was targeted five times. Sam Bradford. Jared Goff, on the other hand, 354 on 24 carries. He threw seven. He had seven more completions than Sam Bradford and over, almost 260 yards more in yardage. He averaged 11 yards per completion to Bradford's 3.3. I'm glad I didn't watch this game. It makes me want to see it, though, like in replay. when the DirecTV used to do the shortcuts, take out all the commercials, you can watch it in 20 minutes. Just to see Bradford's performance. I know Gurley did well. Gurley had three touchdowns. You know, I know Gurley did well. Everyone was talking about it on the fantasy team. Oh, if I saw it once, I saw it 20 times on Twitter. Stop with your fantasy teams. I don't care. Mine was miserable this week. How'd you do? You did good?
I'm leading.
Are you really?
I'm leading against
it. So you going into the Monday game? I'm leading.
Well, I have no plays left. But I'm leading against a new guy. And yeah, I think he has Tyler Lockett, and I'm up almost 30.
I'm losing by 100 points.
Against the boss.
Against the boss. 100 points. He has 170. I would say
that you're not doing it on purpose. You're just doing it for job security. Can't make the boss look bad.
Well, I had Tom Brady going up against Philip Rivers, and Rivers won that battle. So there you go. 800-777-2907. SB Nation AM rolling along.